Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists. Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
You are listening to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show, and I am Rahasia Uncensored, where we look at the world not as it is, but as we know it can be, if and only if we have the courage to question the answers we've been given. This is our world, and it's time for us to take it back. So here we are again. Thank you very much for tuning in to bbsradio.com/spiritualactivist. I'm also on Rumble at rumble.com/user/Rahasia Uncensored. And you can check out my defunct magazine page, Lotus Guide, where we still have a calendar of events. And if you want to make any kind of a donation, you can go to lotusguide.com/donation. And I have a Give, Send, Go. I have a PayPal there, and it's all safe and secure. And that helps too, always helps. And if you'll notice, like, I'm just sort of like coming in from the woods. I just took a shower. I just fenced off a couple of acres off of my property for my goats, and my dog's pretty good. He just sticks right here. We're surrounded by a couple hundred acres, and he won't go off the property. It's sort of amazing. He's like my shadow. He's right here right now behind me. I can't even move my chair. But this is my life now, and I like it. I like getting ready, prepared. The only thing I'm missing here is some alternative energy, and I'm working on that. But I think we're in for some pretty challenging times. But today we're going to be getting really real. I'm going to play a few little clips. People are finally starting to speak out. I remember talking to Robert Kennedy Jr. I can tell you this now, but we had lunch about, let's see, God, it's been about 4 years ago. And thing of conspiracies came up, and I asked him, Robert, what has sort of switched you over to looking at conspiracies a little more realistically? He says it's easy. A good friend of mine came to me because I was under the opinion that Sirhan Sirhan shot my dad. You know, that's what they told us, and it's what the government agencies told us. And I was a little boy when it happened and just sort of grew up with that. But a good friend of mine says, well, if that's the case, then why is it? And he showed him the evidence. The evidence is clear. Why is it that Sirhan Sirhan had an 8-shot revolver and all 8 bullets are accounted for in the wall, ceiling, other people, but none was in Robert Kennedy at all? None. Absolutely none. The only bullet that went into him came from a different gun. And when his dad fell backwards, he fell backwards on a CIA agent. I mean, that's enough to make anybody that's doing any frontal lobe thinking at all at least question. But it becomes pretty clear that the CIA had something to do with that one also. So then he started going down the rabbit hole, and he said that that was not a comfortable place to be because he had to dismantle so many of his beliefs about how the world is. So we're going to listen to a little bit of him, a little bit of Ron Paul, a little bit of some other people. Everyone's talking about the John F. Kennedy assassination. Finally! I mean, I can't believe this whole country sit and watched that on TV and just said, oh, there's something weird about that. And nobody did anything. I mean, I think I was about 13 or 14. I remember it was on my lunch break here in California. And that was the beginning. That's when the coup really started. And it's been so slick that so many people don't know about it, simply because they're not paying attention. I've tried telling people about this for 2 decades. Me and at least a few million other people. But you can't get people to wrap their heads around what's going on. And now it's so outlandish and beyond our comprehension. But if we can crack this open, there's a crack. And if we can crack this open by exposing both Kennedy assassinations from the CIA, our government, that doesn't represent us, by the way. Our government now represents corporations, the globalists. The agenda is to completely take over the whole planet. That statement would be unthinkable even 3 years ago to so many people, but now people are waking up. That's the good side of this. People are waking up. And I expect there's going to be a pretty good awakening in the near future, maybe next month or the month after that. But it's going to fade because they're going to hit us with everything they've got. And it's going to drive people back into their little cocoons. But it won't last. You watch, next year, there's going to be an awakening, spiritual, mentally, every way possible, like nothing we've ever seen in recorded human history. We're going to wake up. That's just what I think. But it's based upon feelings. It's based upon history. It's based upon a lot of things. One guy you might listen to is Cliff High. Just look him up. Listen to some of his talks. He's pretty... You have to dismantle a lot of what you think is to listen to him. One example, Einstein's E equals MC squared. You almost have to turn that around backwards to understand some of the things he talks about with energy. You have to forget about linear time. When you say something's going to happen in the future, he says you have to really wrap your head around the fact that that is actually happening right now in this quantum eternal now. And right now we're feeling like he felt the ripples of 9/11. He accurately predicted that. And he felt the ripples of that way before 9/11, way before. But it had actually happened. And this is something that it's really difficult for many of us to really come to grips with, is if it's all happening at once. That's why we experience time linearly, so we don't experience it all at once. It would, like, we wouldn't be able to function in a dense three-dimensional reality. It would be unthinkable. But listen to Cliff High. How he comes to these conclusions is pretty interesting too, and what's been happening lately that he talks about is pretty telling. How he does this, he has a computer system, an algorithm, it goes out onto the internet and pulls in certain words that have an emotional content, sayings that have been with us forever, you know, feelings that we come up with, quotes and different things. He says all these things are all over the internet, but mostly the words, certain words he targets because they carry with it an emotional content. And according to how they're used, especially specifically if they're used wrongly, that's telling, because that's what we're being manipulated with. But he can get all of that emotional content and mathematically predict that something is going to happen in the near future. And he pins it down pretty good sometimes. But here's the interesting point. Since the last 3 or 4 years, he said the censorship has been so intense that it's difficult to find those emotional trigger keywords, those buzzwords, because they're being censored out. Because if he knows about this, and we know a little bit about it, don't think for a second that the powers that be, the globalists, they've known about this for a long time. They're censoring out certain words and concepts and quotes and all kinds of things. All kinds of things. But it's coming out. It's coming out. I'm going to play a little clips here. This just to give you an idea. The cat is out of the bag. That's one of those quotes that sticks with us because it has an emotional content to it. Okay, we're gonna play this, and then we'll come back.
But I do believe there has been a coup and it's been taken over. And if I want to just put the date in my mind, and anybody could pick probably any date in the last 100 years. But I have picked November 22nd, 1963.
What happened on that day?
That was the day Kennedy was murdered by our government.
Wow.
You know, by the CIA.
You can go on YouTube and watch this tonight. It's called Event 201, and this is the fourth section of it. Oh, and people knew about that, you know, who were looking at this like me, and from almost the beginning. But then I started to
see. Here's the funny thing. Event 201. I watched that right away at the beginning of 2020, and when I watched that, and what Facebook and the government agencies and all the censorship and it was a mock event of everything that happened over the next 2 or 3 years. And people ask me, how do you know all this? Because they're telling us. They're telling us it's going to happen. Event 201, if you're interested.
In a deep dive when I was writing the book, and I found out that was not a one-off. And I describe in that book, I found about 20 of these that they had been doing since 2001. And they're all scripted by the CIA. And all of them include top-level officials like James Woolsey, the deputy director of the CIA, Taro O'Toole. All of them have senior CIA officials. Many of them have famous people who kind of give an imprimatur of legitimacy to what they're doing, like Madeleine Albright or Tom Daschle or, you know, Bill Gates and a lot of them, and Gro Brundtland from the, you know, from the WHO. People who are respected, and they end up drilling, each one of them is drilling the imposition of totalitarian controls. They're collectively, they have names like Dark Winter and Crimson Contagion and all these weird names, but collectively they're called Operation Lockstep. And they involved hundreds of thousands of people. Public officials from little towns all over America, health officials from the state, police, firefighters, hospital systems, public utilities, and FBI, CIA, U.S. Marshals in Canada, the United States, all over Europe, Australia, and China. They were all doing it together, drilling, here's what we're going to do when a pandemic comes. And a lot of these people, you can see, are surprised about what they're doing. But they're probably looking around and saying, well, everybody else thinks this is okay, so I guess this is what we do when the pandemic comes.
That's what so many of my friends would say. Look, they wouldn't lie to us. Everybody's doing this. Everybody's wearing a mask. You know, everybody's doing it. Everybody's taking the vaccination. They're all doing it. So it must be. They wouldn't do it for nefarious reasons. By the way, there's a movie coming out called Nefarious. I think it's a pretty good movie. It just was released yesterday, I think. We need to really, really drill down and think to deeper levels. Like just real quick, like with Robert Kennedy Jr. here. He's running against, he wants the Democratic, to be the Democratic nominee. He's running against Biden. I think he'll get it. I know the first polls are coming in. He's ahead of Biden. I mean, you have to be a moron at this point to think that Biden could possibly be a president for another 4 years, or even another year. We're going to be lucky if we're not in a World War III, complete demolishing our financial system, the borders still wide open, millions and millions and millions of people coming across. And they're from over 150 countries. I mean, I don't know if we can make it another year and a half, 2 years. It's going to be tough. And whoever gets in there is, oh my God, I've thought about this. If Trump does get back in, he's going to be stepping into a shithole of messy stuff, man. He thought it was tough the first time. He's going to have to go in there with an iron fist. And here's a hang on. Somebody's at the front gate. I always know when somebody's at the front gate, obviously. But here's what it's saying, as far as thinking a little bit deeper. Now think about this. Okay, if Robert Kennedy Jr. is running, he's basically saying the same things as Trump. You remember what has been told to us, and we just ignore it because it doesn't affect us personally, I guess. The same thing with the Kennedy assassination. I mean, why did we let them get away with that for so long, decades and decades? And so many people in power knew what was going on. Here's what I think, and this is only what I think. Robert Kennedy Jr. and Trump are basically saying the same thing. You know, Robert Kennedy Jr. is a little bit more against the vaccinations vocally than Trump has been. I think it's only because Trump is so stubborn and narcissistic. It's hard for him to back out of that quagmire that he got himself into. Think about this. I think Robert Kennedy Jr., I don't think he really wants to be president, but he probably feels like he's being called to play this part just in case they do another phony election and rig it to where Trump doesn't win. If Trump doesn't win, then that means Robert Kennedy Jr. would be the president. And that would be so much better than almost anybody else I know. At that point, he could hire Trump as a presidential advisor. And I think if the opposite happens, I think if Trump wins, I think Robert Kennedy Jr. will go into the White House as an advisor. I think they're working together. I mean, Robert Kennedy Jr. is one of the people that Trump would have a hard time really shredding because he's such a good guy. I mean, and his family has paid their dues hundreds of times more than whatever Trump has paid. Trump has paid with cash and a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, but the Kennedy family, they've paid with blood, and it's worth listening to them. Here we go again.
So they drilled people into doing something that was clearly contrary to their values, but it got them all teed up to do it and do it all at once and say, this is what you do when there's a pandemic. The first thing you do is you end freedom of speech and you start gutting the Constitution.
That's a good hashtag, by the way. Hashtag Alex was right. Matter of fact, it was like one of the number one hashtags for a long time. It might still be, I don't know. It's interesting too, because his book, The Great Reset, he has sold so many books and the New York Times refuses to even put him on the list. But that's another story. So let's get on with this and talk about a few other things. A few things that are right down this line. Now here's Ron Paul again. And this is important because these people are powerful people. And if you don't know about Ron Paul, you better catch up. He's been talking about the Federal Reserve and dismantling it for years. And he knows what he's talking about. Listen to what he has to say here.
We don't have any resemblance to a government that believes in a republic. We don't have honest money. We don't have integrity. We don't even have people in Washington that even pretends, you know, that you're supposed to tell the truth. You know, remember just recently there was a congressperson that won, and he won by putting on his resume just a bunch of lies. And the other ones got hysterical. The other congressman is telling lies like this. And I got to thinking, well, how many of these people that were complaining about this guy telling lies, how many of them lied when they raised their hand up and swore to uphold the Constitution? Now, that's a lie that really has consequences. Actually, you could probably make fun and make a little joke, because his jokes weren't, everybody knew he was fibbing, but the real lies are being told, and that is our big problem. But I do believe there has been a coup, and it's been taken over, and if I want to just put the date in my mind, and anybody could pick probably any date in the last 100 years, but I have picked November 22nd, 1963.
Okay, let's get back to Robert Kennedy Jr. here. Now, he's going to be talking more about Event 201. And the interesting thing, and he'll get into it, is this happened a few months before we found out about COVID. And they were talking about it in 2019. And also keep in mind that this started in Wuhan, China. Do you know what else started in Wuhan, China, at the same exact time? It was the total turn on of 5G networks. Just something to think about there too. And a lot of people have been getting into this. Look up 5G and COVID-19. You'll find some pretty interesting stuff. Okay, here's Robert Kennedy Jr.
I found was, you know, I saw this Event 201. And raise your hand if you know what Event 201 was. Okay, for those of you who don't know, Event 201 was a pandemic simulation, a coronavirus pandemic simulation that took place in October of 2019. Nobody had ever heard of coronavirus till January. So that's 3 months later. In October, we now know that coronavirus was already circulating in September, so the month before, in Wuhan. But nobody knew about it. And yet they had a coronavirus pandemic simulation in New York City, hosted by Bill Gates and Avril Haines, the former deputy director of the CIA, who did all of the Guantanamo Bay cover-up. She is like the cover-up queen. And they do a simulation. And who else is there? George Gao, the head of Chinese CDC, so who obviously knows the coronavirus is circulating. He is the world's coronavirus expert. He's also the head of the CDC in China. And then they had all of the social media platforms were there, the big insurance companies, Johnson & Johnson, the big pharma companies, and they meet for 2 days. And they have four seminars, and each one is faking this, you know, coronavirus is spreading across the world. And they simulate, they don't say, okay, we got vitamin D to everybody, and we got to make sure everybody gets exercise and gets out of their house and gets healthy and, you know, builds their immune system.
They even did phony commercials and phony newscasts, you know, to simulate how they could handle this misinformation.
And, you know, there's none of that. And zinc and, you know, all the things. We got to figure out early treatments. We got to use the computer, the internet to connect all 15 million doctors, frontline doctors around the world, so that we know when they treat people what's working, what's not, and we're constantly upgrading the protocols. That's what they should have been doing. That's not what they were doing. They were working on ways to use the coronavirus pandemic as a pretense for clamping down totalitarian controls globally. And, you know, they talk about in some of these concentration camps and all of this stuff. But here, the last simulation on the fourth day, George Gao and Avril Haines from the CIA are talking. They have a soliloquy about how do we clamp down, stop people from saying this came from a lab leak. So they're saying that. This is in October of 2019. And they say, well, we got to get the social media companies to censor them and deplatform them and all this. You can go on YouTube and watch this tonight. It's called Event 201, and this is the fourth section of it. Oh, and people knew about that, you know, who were looking at this like me. And from almost the beginning, but then I started doing a deep dive when I was writing the book, and I found out that was not a one-off. And I describe in that book, I found about 20 of these that they had been doing since 2001. And they're all scripted by the CIA. And all of them include top-level officials like James Woolsey, the deputy director of the CIA, Taro O'Toole. All of them have senior CIA officials. Many of them have famous people who kind of give an imprimatur of legitimacy to what they're doing, like Madeleine Albright or Tom Daschle or, you know, Bill Gates and a lot of them, and Gro Brundtland from the, you know, from the WHO.
I hear that Warren Buffett has pulled out of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Find that interesting.
People who are respected and all, and they end up drilling, each one of them is drilling the imposition of totalitarian controls. They're collectively, they have names like Dark Winter and Crimson Contagion and all these weird names, but collectively they're called Operation Lockstep. And they involved hundreds of thousands of people, public officials from little towns all over America.
I'm playing this part at the beginning, by the way, because it's worth listening to two times. Operation Lockstep is a real operation, and it's to get everybody in lockstep. So it makes sense to the people sitting on the fence and to the people on the other side.
Health officials from the state, police, firefighters, hospital systems, public utilities, and FBI, CIA, U.S. Marshals in Canada, the United States, all over Europe, Australia, and China. They were all doing it together, drilling, here's what we're going to do when a pandemic comes. And a lot of these people, you can see, are surprised about what they're doing. But they're probably looking around and saying, well, everybody else thinks this is okay, so I guess this is what we do when the pandemic comes. So they drilled people into doing something that was clearly contrary to their values. But it got them all teed up to do it and do it all at once and say, this is what you do when there's a pandemic. The first thing you do is you end freedom of speech and you start gutting the Constitution.
And remember what we were just talking about with Cliff High. It's certain forms of speech that they're censoring too. It's not just the antithesis of what they're doing, the people that are challenging the narrative. There's a deeper aspect of this that works on a psychological level that we haven't really even got to yet.
What's happening is very simple. Our enemies are desperate to stop us because they know that we are the only ones who can stop them. And I will totally obliterate the deep state. I will fire the unelected bureaucrats who have weaponized our justice system. Look at what they've done to our justice system, what they have done to our justice system. I will direct the Department of Justice to go after Marxist prosecutors' offices to make them pay for their illegal race-based enforcement of the law. Many racists are there.
I wish he was a little more less narcissistic, you know, less arrogant. But is that what we need right now? Maybe we need somebody like that. Because the harder you push on Trump, the more he digs in. And we might not like what he's saying. We might not like his tweets, all the other nonsense around him. But I don't know anybody that's accomplished what he accomplished in one term when 3 years of it was spent every day fighting against the deep state. I mean, he accomplished a lot. He almost got the border really under control. We got peace in the Middle East. You got our gasoline and fuel prices way down. The financial thing was happening really well. I know because I was in business then, and now I'm not. So that says it all.
And 2024 is the final battle. That's it. If you put me back in the White House, the reign of the corrupt Washington establishment will be over. I guess.
Like I say, I think Trump and RFK Jr. is working behind the scenes. In fact, you can even expand this thought a little bit. And this is just something to ponder, to think about. And it's not hopium. It's not really founded on good information, but just sort of drawing back to that 36,000 foot view and looking at the wider landscape. I can almost imagine people like RFK Jr., Rand Paul, all these people, people in the White House, Ted Cruz and Tulsi Gabbard, even Putin. I mean, believe it or not, it's crazy to add him to this mix, but I think that there's a lot of people that's in high positions, high power positions that knows what's, I mean, if I know what's going on, and I'm just living up here in Northern California in the middle of the woods, picking up information, interviewing a few people here and there. Over the years, I've interviewed CIA whistleblowers, I've interviewed Robert Kennedy Jr., I've interviewed people that's scientists right on the cutting edge of technology. If I can figure this out, I would imagine people at high levels of government, and they could figure it out too. Is it completely out of the question that they might be working together behind the scenes? Yes, a conspiracy for us. I think that there's a possibility, because right now we have the bad guys, whatever you want to call them, the cabal, the deep state, the Illuminati, whoever the hell they are, we have them on the run. They're running scared right now, which makes them dangerous, because at some point they're going to throw the whole arsenal at us, right on up to nuclear war. That's why we have to keep talking about this, because I expect this summer they're going to release something, and this one's going to possibly be real. If there's another virus coming out, I am going to be very cautious about that one. First one, I wasn't that cautious. You know, it was just a flu, if even that. They still haven't really isolated it. It's all computerized simulations about the virus and everything. And they can manipulate the test. I was around people and went to parties, and everybody I know that was out just living their life, none of them got sick and died. The only person I know that got sick and died were two people that took the vaccination. Within a week, they died, you know, of all kinds of organ failure and everything else. The other one was my cousin in Colorado. He got the COVID, and he told me, he says, "Hey, man, this if it's a flu, it's a pretty bad one. I got a bad flu." He says, I've had a flu like this before, but this must be the COVID that I have. So he went to the hospital. What did they do? They put him on a respirator and pumped him up with remdesivir, and he died. He died within a day or two after he went to the hospital. I think if he had just stayed home and treated it like a normal flu, which probably was just a really bad flu, he would still be alive today. People are dying from this, but they're people that are dying from the vaccination is far, far greater than what we can even imagine right now. But what we know is it's not good. Okay, now I'm going to play a few clips from an interview that Tucker Carlson did with President Trump. And I don't know how you feel about President Trump. And to be honest with you, at this point, I don't really care. A friend of mine wrote a great book, Terry Cole Whitaker. What you think of me is none of my business. At this point, I have to follow the facts, follow the truth, and follow my heart and my mind at this point. I mean, things have become mentally pretty clear what is going on. And I think some of the things that Trump talks about, even if you're against Trump, if it was somebody else saying it, you would totally agree with it. But they have you so mind warped against Trump that it's unbelievable what they've been able to do and accomplish. I can't say I respect what they've done because they did it so well, because they're destroying this planet. But listen to some of the things Trump is talking about. And if he sort of rubs you the wrong way, well, I don't know. Get over it. That's all I can say.
Mr. President, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Last week, you were in New York for this arraignment. The world watched it. You've not given an interview since. You were there, I think, 57 minutes. Tell us from your perspective what that was like.
Well, it was a horrible thing because I did nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. You look at even the pundits and the legal analysis, Greg Jarrett, all of these really talented people, they're saying he didn't do anything wrong. So that's number one. Number two, they were incredible. When I went to the courthouse, which is also a prison in a sense, they signed me.
Look at the look on his face. He looks pretty determined. I would not want that person against me. He's reached a level of full commitment, full, because he knows that he could get assassinated. At this point, these people want him dead. They not only don't want him in the White House, they want him dead, off the planet.
And I'll tell you, people were crying. People that work there, professionally work there, that have no problems putting in murderers, and they see everybody. It's tough, tough place. And they were crying. They were actually crying. They said, I'm sorry. They'd say, 2024, sir, 2024. And tears are pouring down their eyes. I've never seen anything like the whole. Those people are phenomenal. Those are your police.
Yep.
Those are the people that work at the courthouse. They're unbelievable people. Many of them were in tears or close to it. Many apologists were sorry, sir, were sorry. They had to have me do certain things. They said, sir, I can't believe I have to ask you. I can't even believe that I have to ask you to do it. You could see. So in one sense, it was beautiful because they get it. In another sense, you know, it's nasty. I went to the Wharton School of Finance. They didn't teach me about that. That wasn't like
they didn't know about the arraignment part.
We didn't have a class on arraignment. And, you know, it was a sad day in many ways. And in many ways, it was a beautiful day because the people understand. I didn't know this was happening, but the poll numbers have gone through the roof. The people get it. And the other ones are hoaxes also. You know, the box hoax. Look at Biden. He's got 1,850 boxes. And, you know, that's a hoax. And then the one in Atlanta where I had a perfect phone call. This is all weaponization. They're weaponizing our justice system, Tucker. And they think if they go and give you a subpoena, you know, I guess I'm very well known and people understand it and they get it. And maybe I have a bigger platform so I can explain it. But if you're somebody, a Republican, let's say, running for office and you get a subpoena, you might as well resign because you're not going to be able to survive it. And the voters aren't going to handle it. The voters aren't going to take it. What they're doing is weaponizing the system, and there's never been anything like it. And it's all disinformation. You see, the other day, Afghanistan, one of the worst things I've ever seen, I think the most embarrassing moment that this country's ever had, frankly, the way we got out, not the getting out, we had to get out, it was ridiculous to be there.
We're not supposed to leave anyone behind. That's the Marine Corps, that's their logo, never leave anyone behind. We left American civilians behind. They're still back there. I think 13 Marines got killed because they didn't have the backup. This was a complete disaster. And I know people all over the world from other countries, and they're saying that, you know, when their country looks at us and talks about us, it's we've totally lost our moral standing on the planet. Totally. Not a little bit. And we're not looking weak or looking. We have totally lost our moral standing. This is what's allowing Saudi Arabia and Iran and China and Russia, to some extent, start getting together behind the scenes, like in doing the BRIC with Brazil and everything. Look what happened in Brazil. My wife is from Brazil. I mean, Lula absolutely talks about what he's going to do. He's going to devastate, murder, kill, get rid of anybody that's against him. He is a totalitarian moron, idiot. And the people voted him in? No. No, Brazilian people are smarter than that. At least the ones I know.
And I had that so good, so tight, so tough. I spoke to the leader, Abdul. I said, Abdul, if you do anything, you're going to get hit really hard. Literally, he said, but sir, why? He goes, why do you send me a picture of my house? I said, you'll have to figure that one out, Abdul. But we didn't have one death in 18 months. He knew, not one death. And then to see the way we got out, like we were surrendering.
I don't know if you caught that, but the reason he sent him a picture of his house is to send a message to him. Watch what happens to your home if you keep this up.
Taking the military out first, leaving $85 billion worth of equipment behind, giving up Bagram. I was going to keep Bagram. I was getting out, but not for Afghanistan. It's 1 hour away from where China makes its nuclear weapons. It's one of the biggest Air Force bases in the world, I think the biggest, with runways that go 10,000 feet. I was keeping that because of China, not because of Afghanistan.
Right.
And they left everything. They left in the dark of night. They left the lights on. They left the dogs, by the way. You know, the people
they
say
left
about
the dogs?
The dogs. They left the dogs. Everyone, you know, the dog lovers, and you got a lot of them. I love dogs. You love dogs. But they left the dogs. People said, what? One of the first questions I got, what did they do with the dogs? Mostly German shepherds. They left them. What they did, the way they got out, was so horrible. Okay, everybody knows that was their plan. That had nothing to do with me. I was getting out, too. We would have gotten out with strength and dignity. And what happened? They got out. And the other day I hear, yeah, it was Trump's fault. Oh, that's right. It was Trump. I was gone for a long time. I would have been out faster than them. We would have had all the equipment. We would have had the American citizens. We left hostages. We left Americans behind. Many. I think many more than you think. And we had 13 soldiers killed. And nobody ever mentions the fact that we had many maimed so badly. No arms, no legs. Their face was obliterated. This is the way this guy got out. We would have gotten out with dignity and strength. We were going to. But I was taking 100% of, I said, I want every nail, I want every screw, I want the tents. They said, sir, the tents are very hard to take out. I said, I want the tents, I want the tanks, I want the planes, I want everything. And a couple of them fought me on it, like Milley. He said, sir, I think it's cheaper to leave the equipment behind.
Yeah, Milley's more interested in white rage, I guess. He's been completely taken over by the woke craziness.
I said, let me ask you, we have a plane that costs $100 million. It's sitting there. All it needs is a tank of gas, right? Give me a little jet fuel. We'll fly it to Pakistan or any place else, or we'll fly it directly home. You say it's cheaper to leave a $100 million plane. Sure, I think overall it's cheaper. These are idiots we're dealing with. They left $85 billion worth of equipment. They left our American citizens behind. And they moved the military at first. No, you move the military at last. I did a little skit with a five-year-old kid. I said, let me ask you, here's the situation. I explained the situation. I said, would you take the military out first or would you take it out last? I take it out last.
This is where it gets so crazy because a little five-year-old kid can figure out a lot of things that's happening right now. Say, I don't think I'd do that, you know. Now, I think the next election is really on everyone's mind. And we talked about this a little bit earlier in this podcast. I think one thing is a given. Biden can't serve another 4 years. I mean, I think the only person that thinks he could possibly do that is his wife. And she should be arrested for elder abuse, if you ask me. But here's Trump, and he's going to talk a little bit about the upcoming election. We better start paying attention.
Do you think Biden will stay in the race?
Look, I watch him just like you do. And I think it's almost inappropriate for me to say it. But I deal with other people. I don't see how it's possible. And it's not an age thing. You know, like I say, I have friends that are 88, 89, 92. Bernie Marcus, Home Depot, is 95. Smart as hell. He's sharp as he was. I mean, he's, you know, mentally, Bernie Marcus, Home Depot, founder of Home Depot, one of the founders. I mean, I had a meeting with him a few months ago. He was 100%. I know people that built their fortunes from 80 to 90. They were always struggling, and they made a fortune from 80 to 90. A couple of people in particular. It's a, you know, amazing. He's not too old. You know, his age, I think they do the age thing because I'm 4 or 5 years behind. They say, this is a way of getting Trump. Let's go him up. But there's something wrong. I saw his answer today on television about whether or not he was going to run to a very nice guy named Al Roker. I mean, you can't get a softer question than that. That was a long answer of talking about the eggs and the this and that. Look, I don't think he can. But say what you want. They didn't expect him to get it. Yeah. You know, people could say he won an election. You know, they it always goes, I got the most votes of any person, any sitting president in history. I was told if I got 15 million less, I couldn't lose. They're surrounded by vicious, smart people, radical left people, but they're very smart and they're very vicious. It's not him. It's not him. He's now in Ireland. He's not going to have a news conference. When the world is exploding, I own property in Ireland. I'm not going to Ireland. The world is exploding around us. You could end up in a third world war, and this guy's going to be in Ireland and not having a news conference. He hasn't had a news conference, I guess, in months. I saw today where he hasn't. It's been.
Well, he can't. So no, if he doesn't run, if he's taken out by his own party or who knows what happens, but doesn't seem like he's capable of running again, who does run?
Well, obviously the one that they would talk about would be the vice president, Kamala. That would be the one that they talk about.
In a way, I hope it is Kamala, because there's just no way people would even put up with that. I don't know. If it's Robert Kennedy Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr. will give him a good run for his money. But I think either way, we would win. If either one of them wins, we win.
But I don't think she's performed well on the big stage. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. But there are a certain group of people that will go crazy if it's not her. They're going to go very. They're going to be very angry if it's not her. That's a problem. You have a very ambitious guy in California, but he's done a terrible job with the state. I used to get along great with him, you know, when I was president. I had along, you know, got along really good, Gavin.
You know, Gavin Newsom, I think he's the nephew of Pelosi. It's a family thing. They keep their family in this. And Gavin Newsom has destroyed California. I mean, absolutely destroyed it. Go on YouTube and put in California homeless. Every major city, it is not only the homeless, but they are so messed up on fentanyl, which is made in China, smuggled across our border. They don't even smuggle it. They just walk it across now. It's, I mean, it takes all the fun out of smuggling when you just walk it across. But they're making billions of dollars on this stuff because it, a little match head would be enough to get a bunch of people high, and it would be able to easily kill a few people. Stuff is really strong. California, it might be past the Rubicon as far as being able to fix it at this point. It might have to go ahead and completely fall. I live in Northern California, which is away from a lot of the craziness. I don't live close to a big city. Live out in the middle of nowhere. And that's how I like it. You know, if Northern California would maybe break off and go in with Idaho and Eastern Oregon, I think that would be a pretty good message to send to this government. Hey, the states have the power to do this. There is a way to do that. It's been done before, matter of fact.
Well, you got along with Gavin Newsom?
I did. I really did. He was always very nice to me. He said the greatest things. He would say things like, he's doing a great job. Oh, he was very
about
nice.
You?
About me. That's why I could never hit him, because he was so nice to me. It's just laying in wait. Right?
And therein lies the danger with a narcissistic person. They're easily manipulated because of their narcissism. If you make a narcissist feel good about themselves, they will back off of you. No matter how bad you are, that's the one thing that I think we have to watch out for Trump, because that's his weakness. And these criminal idiot morons, they know good and well how to manipulate him.
But I could, you know, he was very nice to me. And relatively speaking, some of them weren't. We did a good job for the governors. But they talk about him. They talk about some others. I just don't see Biden doing it from a physical or a mental standpoint.
Yes.
I don't see it. But it's been a crazy period of time in the world of politics. But he's surrounded by people. You know, they expected Bernie to win. Now, Bernie's older than Biden, you know, whether you like him or not. He's sharp. I watched him being interviewed the other day. He's 100% sharp. He hasn't lost much, if anything, Bernie Sanders. But, you know, he's older. So it's not an age thing. I just don't see him.
So they're trying to prevent you from making it to the general election yeah. by tying you up in lawsuits, charging you with crimes. You've described the process.
It's the old Soviet process.
The old Soviet process. And you've described it as illegitimate. If this goes to trial and you get convicted, like, how would you respond in the middle of a presidential campaign?
Well,
how would
it's
you
so off. Statute of limitations are years off. It's hard to believe. You know, usually when you have something like this, the Democrats say, oh, he's terrible, guilty. The Democrats have even said, I'm innocent. I watched some of these. I think it was Andrew McCabe.
And what he's taught, what the crime was, is it was his money. He didn't use campaign money. $100,000 was paid to Stormy, whoever she is, to sign a non-disclosure agreement. And, you know, didn't really stand up because she started talking. But whether he went with her or not, I don't think it's any of our business, to be honest with you. It wouldn't be the first politician that's gone with a hooker. I mean, and if he did go with her, of course he's going to pay her to be quiet. I mean, I think most people would at that point. Remember, we went through a year of hell just because our president got a blowjob from, I even forget her name now. You know, there's been a lot more serious things happen. And it happened that the statute of limitations has been over for 2 years on this. It's not even a crime at this point, if it ever was a crime. At this point, it's not a crime. You can rob a bank, and if you get away with it for so many years, you're a done deal.
The FBI guy who I fired, he came out, he said, they've got no case. They've all come out and said it. And then you've had Andrew McCarthy, you've had Jonathan Turley, Greg Jarrett, Dershowitz, all of them, everybody, like, and they're, you know, down the middle people. They see it. They say there's no crime. There's no anything. Think of it, Tucker. I've been through 7 years of bull investing.
It's crazy that we have to beep out bullshit, but it's the bullshit is way, way worse than the word. I mean, I don't know. We live in a crazy world. So it's getting close to time right now, and I just want to say a few words. I've been, how would you say? I've been on the sidelines for a while now. I only do 2 podcasts a month, basically, every 2 weeks. I can't see myself doing too much more. You might want to tune in to some of my talk and walkabouts and just sort of walk and meander through the woods, me and my dog, and we just talk about whatever comes up. And it's a nice way to do it. And it's a nice way to take a walk, too, and just, you know, talk about the world. Like you're with a friend walking through the woods. And you can get that on bbsradio.com/spiritualactivist and also on rumble.com/user/Rahasia Uncensored. And if you want to leave a donation, it's really appreciated at this point. I'm trying to upgrade my my technology, you might say. In fact, I'm trying to put together enough money right now to put together the technology that's really mobile. And my wife and I want to travel in our motorhome and go to different events, and expos and UFO conventions and survivalists and preppers, and start getting out there in the world more. But to do that, we need to have the right equipment, uplinks to the satellite, and things like that. So if you can help out there, that would be great. But if you can't help out and times are tough, you know, keep your money, buy some food, take care of your kids, and don't give it a second thought. But if any of you have been listening to me for the last 19 years with my magazine and podcasts and YouTubes, I don't do too many YouTubes anymore because I can't afford any more strikes. I should put a couple of YouTubes up guiding people over to Rumble and BBS Radio is what I should do. But I'm not that great at promoting myself. I should get better. You know, I should be better at this. I'm working on it. So here we are at the 55-minute mark, and hang in there, people, because I think I'm standing on the shoulders of some really, really intelligent people. And I swear to you, I can see further over the horizon because of that. And what I see coming is multiple challenges on multiple levels from multiple different directions. But if you keep looking further over the horizon, I think there's an awakening coming. It's going to be probably next year. Because this year, they're going to hit us with everything. And we're going to be fortunate if we make it through it. But all we have to do is just keep our calm, keep looking further down the road, start loving one another. That's another thing, too. BBS Radio and Rumble, my Wetiko series, parts 1 through 5, watch those. This is about interdimensional entities that are seeping into our dimension from other dimensions. And they've been doing this for millennia. We've been warned about it. The Gnostics, the Jain, Plato, Aristotle, Heraclitus, Rudolf Steiner, Swedenborg, Carl Jung, Eckhart Tolle. Everyone is warning us about these interdimensional entities that come in on the low frequencies of anger and greed and danger and aggression and everything. So keep your frequency up. Get really good food, the best possible food. Be careful the water you drink, obviously. And do some exercise, you know. Lose some of that extra weight. Yeah, I know I'm be accused of fat shaming here, but I don't care anymore. I mean, if you're overweight, it's unhealthy. I don't care what overweight people might be telling you. It's not healthy. Get some exercise in. Go for walks and put that shield of love out there for your mankind and humanity right now, because humanity is under attack. That's the reason so much of this looks like anti-human, because that's what it is. So until next time, take it easy, and thank you so much for spending a little time with me. And let's see where we go.